Everybody did well on the exam? Yes, sir. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. About three more class sessions and you guys be graduating. Won't be long at all. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'm on my time. Okay. We got about a minute left. Amen. I just want to commend everybody who's here, sticking it out to the end. You know, that's a blessing. You know, you always want to be faithful to the end. You know, when you start a project, an assignment that God has placed on your heart, you want to complete it. You know, that's so very important. So very important. Amen. A lot of times people want to know, you know, Lord, why I'm not going anywhere? And I said, well, go back and finish the last thing I told you to do. You know, because, you know, I can't move you forward until you get where you once were and complete that. Complete that assignment. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. We'll start off with a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you for each and every student that's here. And I just trust, God, that your will be done in this class. And that, Lord God, as these students approach the end of this semester, Lord God, you're going to give them everything they need to fortify them, Lord God, and that they may walk in their calling, walk into their God-given vocations, Lord God, and do what you've placed in their heart, Lord God, hallelujah, and be successful in it, Lord God. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. And we thank you, Lord, as always, Lord God. We expect the Holy Spirit to show up, for I know, Lord God, without his help, Lord God, I fall on my face and I'm leaning completely and totally upon him. Hallelujah. He is my backup. He is my support. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. The next last three classes or so, we're going to be talking about how to build honor, how to build a harvest of honor. And I'm going to be coming from the very back of the book, around page 154, something like that. It's about two or three pages where he talks about how to reap honor rewards, a harvest of honor by sowing honor. So we're going to be looking at these particular illustrations. Now, he calls these things points, you know, but I'm calling them actual steps, because building honor is a process. And as you take that first step, you have to walk into your calling. Then you have to, you know, there's steps that has to be taken. And I always remember this one author said, you know, you can't take the elevator to the top. You have to take each step at a time. And so it's so very important that we understand that. What do you think it takes in life to demonstrate and to reap a reward of honor? As I stated earlier, it is a process that must be followed. You first must learn how to sow honor consistently and consecutively over a period of time. Now, one of the things we talked about last semester is that the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed, you know, and as you sow that seed of honor consistently and consecutively over a period of time, you're going to begin to walk in true honor rewards. When developing generational anointings from father to son and passing it down to the children, whether it's our physical sons and daughters from birth or spiritual sons and daughters in ministry, there is a seven-step developmental plan to develop the seed of honor. The first step in this plan is you must be called. You must know that you have a call of God on your life. Now, a lot of times we hear the word call, you think about calling to the fivefold ministry. But I'm here to let you know, when you called into the ministry of helps, that's not a lesser calling, you know, because you're there, you're supporting. You know, give you an illustration. When the children of Israel was in battle and Moses would raise his hands up, as long as his hands was raised, they were winning. And all of a sudden, his hands start to drop. Well, then the ministry of helps now, they raise his hands back up. And they were his support. Several years ago, might have been 10, 12 years ago, I'll never forget, it was at a restaurant right down in Gonzales. There was a minister and his wife who was there, and they were visiting the church, and they made this, they asked me, says, are you a minister? You know, do you have a church or whatever? I said, no, I just work in the Ministry of Helps. And both of them stopped me. They said, no, you don't just work in the Ministry of Helps. You've been called into the Ministry of Helps. You can't see it as just a sideline, because it's vital. It's undergirding your man of God, undergirding your pastor. He can't be everywhere. So I want to pre-reference, before we get into this too deeply, that it's not just being called into the fivefold ministry gifts. What you do behind the scenes is so very important and so very vital. You know, whether it's working the sound, working camera, being in the nursery, being a greeter, you know, whatever, you know, the duplicating department, whatever you're doing, you're getting the Word of God out. Are you making the atmosphere conducive for the Word of God to flow? If you're a praise working, you know, if you're in Ministry of Health and you're in the praise team, you know, you have a specific function that causes everything to gel together. So that's so very important. So that first step is that you must be called. And let me just give you some definitions of what we mean by you must be called. Before I proceed, I'm going to give you all seven. The first step is being called, being commissioned. We'll deal with the call and the commission tonight, and then the other five probably next week, which is competent, conduct, continuity, confidence, and control. All of these are steps. These seven C's have to, in order to produce honor and to reap the rewards of honor, these things have to be in your life, and they have to be settled. The first step in developing the seed of honor is you must be called. I've said this before, and I want to make sure I reiterate it. I wrote it down in my notes. You are more anointed doing what God has called you to do than any other time in your life, because whom God anoints, he also equips. You know, in other words, he gives you whatever you need, whatever ability, whatever talent. He empowers you to do what he's called you to do. And so it's so very important that you know, the Bible talks about waiting on your calling. But at the same time, while you're waiting, God is developing you. You know, so you're more anointed to do what God has called you to do than any other time in your life. Okay, let's look at the definition of a calling. A strong inner urge or prompting from the Holy Spirit to fulfill your vocation or assignment, a divine call, to be called or summoned by God into ministry. It is a leading by God into your God-given vocation, calling, or assignment. Let me read that again. It's a strong inner urge or prompting from the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to stop there, because the Holy Ghost he says, I'll lead you and guide you into all truth. And that's why it's so very important to rely on and lean on the Holy Spirit, because he'll lead you into your calling, lead you into your gifting, and he'll be the one to help develop that gifting as you step out in it in faith. So it's a strong inner urge or prompting from the Holy Spirit to fulfill the vocation or assignment, a divine call, a call to be called, summoned by God into ministry. It is the leading by God into your God-given vocation, calling, or assignment. You are called to serve into the Ministry of Helps. God blesses and he gives out gifts and talents and abilities, you know, so that you can undergird, like I was talking about Moses, undergird your man of God and to serve him properly. God calls you into ministry, and that calling is going to be conferred upon you, and you know it. Proverbs 11:4 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. God's going to always You'll know it because there'll be confirmations of that call, of that gifting. People, God will use people to admonish you and to let you know to continue doing what God's called you to do. It says here in Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace, a special endowment or anointing according to the measure of Christ. To every one of us is given, you know, a grace to do what God's called us to do. Ephesians 4:8-13 says, wherefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. That's talking about Jesus. And he gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, that also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And the Bible says, and he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why did he give these gifts? For the perfecting of the saints, or for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. In other words, you know, one thing about ministry, ministry is work, and it takes each and every one of us to do the work of the ministry. I want to make sure we understand what we're talking about, reaping the rewards of honor. And the honor that we're reaping the rewards of is our honor as we serve our man or our woman of God and walk into the vocation or the calling God has called us to and walk into it with meekness and humbleness. But at the same time, we're going to see God also equips us and he gives us everything we need in order to complete that assignment. Verse 12 again says, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or a mature man. One of the things the apostle has been talking about is growing up into maturity. And that's what the fivefold ministry gifts are designed to do, is to help to mature and cause the members of the body of Christ that we be no longer children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Everything that come along, we're gleaming here, gleaming there. I mean, it's to the point now, and I was talking to a gentleman today, he says, I don't listen to no other ministry. I don't glean from no other ministry. He says, I'm getting so much from what I'm receiving. You know, I don't have time. And when I am invited somewhere, I may go one time and say, but I can't go back because I'm wasting my time, you know. And he's an online member. You know, he watches on Wednesdays and Sundays and all the special meetings online. You know, he says, the church I was going to wasn't giving me what I needed. So he's 100% online. But that's the impact of this ministry and the anointing that's on our apostle. A calling from God is the first step towards being successful in ministry. If you are not called, it is no way for you to be successful in something that you're not called to do. Whom he calls, he equips. Psalms 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watch it in vain. So, you know, we got to make sure, and God will confirm it. And we'll look at some areas where God confirmed callings on men's life. Give you an example here in Jeremiah 1:5. It says, God told the prophet Jeremiah he was called. He tells Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. So here God is saying that, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, you know, I knew you, you know, before conception took place, I already had a plan. See, that's known as predestination. God already knows, where he wants you to be and the route he wants you to take. But as we walk in faith and fulfill God's plan, God will, through the Holy Spirit, lead us into our God-given assignments, our God-given vocations. And when you begin to walk in that, that's when you begin to sow and reap the seeds of honor. What I mean by the seeds of honor is just you're pleasing God. And when you're pleasing God and God is pleased with what you're doing, well, then now that's when the rewards come. That's when the blessing and because you're fulfilling. You're fulfilling a vital role in the body of Christ. You're fulfilling a vital role in the ministry God has called you to. And that's so, so very important. God chose Jeremiah before the foundations of the world. In Ephesians 1, 4 through 8, it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated, I just talked about that, predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You know, Ezekiel also was called of God. The apostle Paul was another one called of God. In Ephesians 1:1, the apostle Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints would be as Ephesus and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. And when God when Saul was kicked off of his horse and he was sent to Ananias so Ananias could lay hands on him, the Lord told Ananias that Paul was a chosen vessel. You know, he says that, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. In other words, God had already chosen Paul, even though at the time being Saul, he persecuted the church, but God had a different plan and a purpose for him. So that what? So that he can bring honor to God. Now, here was somebody who was bringing dishonor. They were reaping havoc in the church and condemning people to prison who confessed the way of Christ. But now God turned him around on the road to Damascus, and he had all of this was already planned. You know, so one of the things I tell people, it doesn't matter what your past was like, because God can turn it around for your good. So don't let your past keep you from going forward in what God's called you to do. You know, and that's so very important, because you want to, the Bible says we should press towards the mark of the prize of the higher calling in Christ Jesus. And as we press towards that mark, we're sowing seeds of honor, and we're going to reap a reward of honor. 2 Peter 1:10, Paul admonishes his son in ministry, confirming by in ministry his ministry calling. Wherefore, that rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. That word diligence means a consistent, earnest effort to accomplish your undertaking, persistent to carry out your assignments. Verse 12 says, wherefore, I would be not negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in this present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of the gift of God that is on the inside of you. Paul was always admonishing his sons in the gospel, Timothy, Titus, stirring them up. One of the things the apostle does is he's always pushing ministers, people in the ministry of helps. Every time, even from the pulpit, he'll say, if the words are not on the screen and he's at a scripture, where y'all at? Y'all went to sleep? That's an admonishing to walk in excellence. You know, everything we do must be done in the spirit of excellence. And when we know our man of God's heart, and we know his desire, we should be there making sure that nothing trips him up in ministry. Nothing hinders the flow of God when he's ministering. Having everything prepared, having the people who I was praying earlier, and I was looking at the auditorium, and they moved the chairs back, and they're vacuuming, and they're getting the sanctuary ready for tomorrow night and for Wednesday night. Why? Because we believe in excellence, a spirit of excellence. You know, everywhere you look, and you see, that gives honor to God. And when you function in those roles, whether it's, working in the maintenance department, where you're cleaning and you're getting the facilities ready, making sure the AC is working, you're working in your God-given vocation, and you can't help but reap the reward of honor, because one of the things God told me years ago, he said, son, he says, you're not going to always be in the front. You know, a lot of people want to be seen in ministry. They want the front seat, But it's those people who take the back seat. Or God says, you're going to be in the background. But don't think it's a lesser call, because what you're doing is you're undergirding and you're getting you're setting the stage. You're getting things ready. I guess the best word I can say, you're helping your man of God. You're helping the person that God's called you to fulfill the vision. And it's not just his vision, but because you're connected, that's your vision too. You got to see that the vision that you're a part of, whatever ministry, I know I got people online, whatever ministry God's called you to, that's not just the pastor's vision. That's your vision, because that's your church. God's called you to that ministry. And so, as so he goes or so she goes is where you're going, because that vision that is going to propel you, is going to continue to keep you and sustain you, when times get rough. Why? Because you're connected to a vision. And by doing so, you bring honor to God. At the same time, you're going to be reaping the rewards of honor. Let me move on. Romans 12 and 29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. In other words, they're irrevocable. The Amplified Bible says of Romans 11 and 29, for the gifts and the callings are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when he once they have been given, and he does not change his mind about those of whom he's given his grace or whom he has sent his call. In other words, you're not going to be happy, you're not going to be fulfilled until you begin to walk in your God-given vocation, whatever that is, and only through spending time with God, only through whatever you find your hands to do in ministry, getting involved, it blesses me when I see young men and young women at an early age get just dive into ministry, whatever they can do, just hanging around the church, doing things, because as you seek after God like that and make yourself available, God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart, and he sees your heart. And by you submitting properly, God opens the door for ministry opportunities for you and for you to walk in your God-given mandate. And that's so very important. Ephesians 4 and 1, the Amplified Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you or appeal to you, beg you to walk. Lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is credit to the summons to God's service. And that's, these are just scriptures that just confirming some things. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Jesus Christ. Here he's talking to Timothy, his son. It says, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night, greatly desire to see thee, being mindful of the tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfriend fate and that is in thee, which dealt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that's also that is also in thee. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God that is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Here the Apostle Paul talks about, you know, stirring up the gift, you know, by the laying on of hands. A lot of times a ministry office or a calling is conferred on by the laying on of hands. And Paul is telling here now in Timothy, you know, that same faith that your relatives had, I see in you, and I want to call to remembrance, you know, that you stir up that gift that was placed on the inside of you, that call. And it goes on to say in verse 9, it says, who had saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. And that's 2 Timothy, that's verses kind of 1 through 9. If you want to know the scripture reference I was just reading, I didn't call it out initially. But here it's talking about in verse 9, it said he saved us and he called us with a holy calling. Not according to things that our works are, but according to his divine purpose, God's own purpose, the Bible says, and grace, which he has given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. All right, let me move on. Another point I want to bring out too in calling is by fulfilling your call, fulfilling your vocation, you're bringing honor to yourself. But it's like I said, it's a process, and that process is a continual process, and it's not a short term process, but it's a process that's going to cause the connection to stay to the end. During Elijah's day, there were many sons of the prophet, and I've talked about this before, but only one of the sons of the prophet, Elijah, was the one that received the double portion. He was the one that stuck with his man of God to the end, and that's so very important. Elijah served Elijah for more than 20 years and never left his man of God, stayed with him. In 1 Kings 19, verses 16, it talks about, let's see. One of the things that Elisha did was, even though there were people from a distance, sons of the prophet, saying things, telling him things, he stood close to his man of God. One of the things I've had to learn to do over the years is not be so consumed about what other people are saying. You know, there's always what is known as secret disciples, people out there. They're watching from a distance. The sons of the prophets was always off in the distance, even though Elijah and Elijah were always together. You know, give you an illustration. Right before Elijah was going to be taken up in the whirlwind, he told Elijah that I got to go to Bethel. And he says, tarry here for a while. And he says, no, my man of God, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I'm not going to leave you. So both of them went to Bethel. You know, I kind of look at that in reference to when the apostle goes on a supernatural money coming to you conference. You know, there's 12 master vision bearers who follow him everywhere. You know, I try to make as many of those as I can. And what it is, you know, each time you're there, not only are you just gleaming from what the apostle is doing, but there's a tangible anointing that takes place. You're being transformed, and you're sitting there, and God is bestowing upon you gifts and talents, and he's molding and he's shaping you because you're under an anointing. When you're under an apostolic anointing like that, the supernatural is present, and when the supernatural is present, anything can happen, you know, and it's so very important to be in it under those kind of environments. And you see with Elijah, he was always with his man of God, Elisha. And by doing that, you know, he was the only one that received a double portion. Okay, Elijah followed after Elijah to serve him. After Elijah's mantle, which represented the anointing, was cast on Elijah, he began to follow Elijah to prepare for ministry. You must pursue your man of God. Your man of God does not pursue you. Let me read that again. Elijah followed after Elijah to serve him. After Elijah's mantle, which represents the anointing, was cast upon him. If you remember at one point in time, Elijah was walking and he saw Elijah in a field and he threw his mantle on him. And that was a significance of a call placed upon the young prophet. But that doesn't mean he was ready to go out. All of that was, no, God has placed his hand upon you now. Now it's up to you to do something about it. And so Elijah just kept on walking. And then the young Elijah said, well, let me go and bid my family and do this and do that. And he says, what have I to do with you? I didn't call you, you know. You do what God called you to do. I'm just obeying God. You know, I did what God called me to do. Now, if you need to follow me, you do what you need to do. The buck now is in your court. I didn't call you, you know, and I'm not pursuing after you. It's up to you to pursue after me. You know, a lot of young ministers think that, you know, an apostle or a prophet, you know, should be coming to see them. No, they need to be coming to see him, you know, because what's on him is what they need to be fulfilled in ministry. All through the Bible, everything I've been reading shows where even when Jesus commissioned the 70, even when John the Baptist, when he was baptizing and Jesus came to be baptized by John the Baptist, John says, you know, you should be baptizing me. You know, I don't even feel worthy to do it. Jesus said, no, suffer it to be so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. In other words, there was a divine order that had to take place that conferred, because once John the Baptist baptized Jesus, immediately the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove and the voice from heaven, which was God speaking, saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. That was a conferring of ministry, but at the same time, the proper connection was made because John at that time was God's mouthpiece on the earth. He was the one crying in the wilderness. Now there was one, he said, coming after me who's greater than me, whose shoes I'm not even able to tie, you know, but at the time, John was the man. And then when Jesus came on the scene, before his ministry began, he had to go to John. That was just, you know, getting back to what I was saying. Let me just read this right quick. Elijah followed after Elijah to serve him. After Elijah's mantle, which was representing the anointing, was cast upon him, Elijah began to prepare for ministry by following his man of God. You must pursue your man of God. Your man of God will not pursue you. And that's so very important. And I think that's an area where a lot of ministers really need to focus in that on, you know, because it's you know, sons must realize that through the hands of the Father is the anointing that they need. Is the intangibles that they need in order to be successful through ministry. You know, very few people, if any, that I know launched out successful ministries and just started as a grassroots ministry. Most people had to follow somebody and serve first and prove their faithfulness in me. And you see, all of this, what it does, it causes you now to reap a reward of honor. Because you served in honor, you're going to reap a reward in honor. Amen. Let me move on because my time is well spent. To reap the rewards of honor, you must stay close to your man of God. Never disconnect. Don't be like the sons of the prophet, as I stated earlier, who stayed in the distance. They were like secret disciples. But they didn't receive nothing. You know, you want to stay close and stay connected. All right, I got about 50 minutes left. We're going to start off now and start talking about the second step in developing and reaping the rewards of honor, and that is being commissioned. The word commission, the definition is the act of granting or delegating certain powers or authority, privilege, or granting the authority to carry out a particular task or duty or position in ministry, usually done by the laying on of hands, being sent out and released properly into ministry. The authority so granted by one in delegated authority, an apostle or a prophet or somebody under apostolic government commissioning someone into ministry. The commissioning in the natural, a commissioning, you have a commissioning of a police chief, of a mayor, when they have, you know, another good illustration is the inauguration of a president. That's a lot of people call that the transfer of power. You know, when we just had that take place 2 months ago or so, when one president steps down because his term is up, and there's a transfer of power, there's a commissioning, there's an inauguration. When a ship is commissioned before it goes out to sea, there's a commissioning. And in most cases, if it's a position of authority, that person's authority does not take place until after the commissioning has happened. And so that's why it's so very important that you first, number one, be called and served so that you can be commissioned properly. You know, when the time is right, when the service has been done, then the commissioning can take place and you can be launched out in ministry. You know, and even you say, well, I'm not called to the fivefold ministry, but it'll launch your area and the ministry of helps to a greater level of excellence, a greater level of knowing and having an assurance that, hey, I'm doing what God called me to do, and I'm walking in the fullness of what God's called me to do. Let me give you another example of a commissioning. Jesus appointed 70. This is an example of disciples being commissioned into service. Now listen to this. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Verse 17 says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, they were commissioned. Jesus sent them out. He commissioned 70. And one thing I realize is when I'm put in a position of authority or commission to do something, I'm actually operating under the apostles' anointing. Because here the disciple says, even the demons are subject to us because of thy name, because you've given us your name. You see, we have the name of Jesus, you know, but even so in ministry, it's so very important to be commissioned properly, to where you're sent out, you know. He did not send them out empty-handed. You know, when Jesus sent them out, they were packing power. And so it says, even the devils were subject to thy name, you know, because he had given them his name, and they were commissioned properly to go out and to do the work of the ministry. When you are commissioned, you are properly ordered and granted authority and sent out, authorized by God, are God's governmental delegated authority to do the work wherein you are called. This is proper order of the kingdom of God being sent out properly, and that's so very important. That you know that you're sent out properly and that you're commissioned to go forth and you have your man of God's blessing to do so. 1 Timothy 4 and 14 says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by the laying on of hand, by the presbytery, or by those who are in office, delegated authority. For this cause, this is Titus 1 and 5, for this cause left I thee, this is Paul talking to Titus, I left thy in Crete that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, or the things that are lacking, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. In other words, to keep things in divine order. So here Paul is telling Titus that I left thee there in Crete, you know, for a purpose so that you can ordain elders. In other words, you can train other men to do what I have trained you to do, you know. So because I see that there were some things that were lacking, he says, are wanting, you know, says set in order the things that are wanting, are lacking. So there were some things that were out of order. One of the things about God, and I always share this when I'm ministering in this facet, God is the most purposeful being on the face of the earth, and he's a God of order. And you see, when we walk in divine order, we're really walking in honor, because we're walking according to God's mandate, God's governmental structure. That's so very important. You know, you always want to, I never want to do anything outside of delegated authority. If I'm asked to do something, I want to make sure that it's been delegated properly, and I know what I've been called or sent to do. So I have the blessing of the man of God, and I'm flowing in his anointing, operated on his behalf to do what I was called to do. And that's so very important, because that brings, you know, I'm sowing honor, but as you sow honor, now you're able to also reap that reward of honor. Here's another example, and I kind of talked about this earlier. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh unto us to fulfill all righteousness. It's proper that it be done this way, so they can, so all righteousness could be fulfilled. So it said that John then suffered it. But then immediately, as I stated, after he was baptized, then now God does his thing by allowing the Holy Spirit to come down in the form of a dove and empowering Jesus to do ministry. But it was still ordained in the hands, or he had to go through a process of God's man on the earth at that time, baptizing him, bringing him out of the water. The Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus to do ministry. Jesus, like I said, even when he commissioned the 12, you know, he commissioned the 12, and he gave them power, and they went out, you know, to do ministry. He commissioned the 70. You know, everywhere in the Bible, there was always a commissioning. There was always somebody authorized in delegated authority who sent those out to do ministry. We have the mistake a lot of times where people say, well, I have a call, but they don't wait for the commissioning. They just go out. And they lose out because they don't have everything they need to do ministry properly. And that brings dishonor. You know, what we're about and what this lesson is about is how to reap the rewards of honor. You know, and you reap those rewards of honor by going through the process of knowing that you're called, knowing that there's a commissioning that takes place, and waiting, you know, and the Bible says it even talks about waiting on your ministry, you know, and not to be basically over hesitant and want to step out in something too soon, because you want to make sure that you're equipped. You want to make sure that you have all that God has for you. There has to be a Titus who can be commissioned to a Crete, or a Timothy who can be sent out to a Corinthians. You see, Paul, you know, commissioned Titus, he commissioned Timothy, and he sent them out to various churches or the various regions to evangelize and to do the work of the ministry. Matthew 10:1-3, Jesus named his apostles and commissioned them and empowered them by giving them authority over demons and sickness and disease. It says, and when he had called, this is Matthew 10:5-8, and when he had called them unto him, the 12, he gave them power against all spirits and cast He gave them power against all unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and disease. These 12 Jesus sent forth were given a legal right to go forth and to do ministry, and they were commissioned and sent out by Jesus. The Apostle Paul raised up significant sons in the gospel that honored him, and they were honored by God because of their service and their similitude by going forth properly. Acts 14:22-23, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation inherit the kingdom of God. And when he had ordained them elders in every church, he had prayed and fasted and commended them to the Lord of whom they believed. You know, here it is, an ordination and a commissioning. When a spiritual father, let me read that in another place right quick. When a spiritual father commissions ministry sons who are trained, developed, and mature ministers, their chances of success in ministry are huge because they have received the transfer of their anointing from their spiritual father. So, I mean, it's so very important that it said that when spiritual fathers commission sons, sending them out because they have been trained, and they have been developed, and they've been matured. And by doing this, now their success in ministry is huge, you know, because they have everything they need to go out and do the work of the ministry. Neglect, as I stated earlier, neglect not the gift that is in thee, that was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. That's 1 Timothy 4:14. All of these things that we talked about is God and God's order, and when you walk in God's order, you're walking in divine alignment. And when you walk in divine alignment, you can't help but be successful, and that brings honor to God. But at the same time, you're now reaping the rewards of honor. All the people we talked about earlier in some of our previous classes. Saul and, you know, those who went about, you know, instead of honoring their father or honoring their man of God, they did something that dishonored and caused them to lose out being king, or to lose out being the next person in charge because of their dishonor, because of we talked about, you know, disloyalty, not being loyal, you know. But when you're loyal and when you walk in honor and you walk in just, I like to use the word yield, When you yield to God and yield to the people that God has placed you under, you know, the Bible says when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt you in due time. When you begin to, and that word humble doesn't mean as a defeat or as a low position. Humble means just to simply obey God. You know, humility is a sign of, it's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength, because you now are taking His strength. You're exchanging your weakness for His strength. And when you have His strength now, you have everything you need to accomplish the will of God for your life. You know, being called in either in the fivefold ministry gifts or called into the ministry of helps. And you can take what God has placed on the inside of you now and be a blessing, because the anointing of God on your life is not for you. It's for those people God has called you to serve, you know, and that's so very important. You know, God places that anointing upon you for service, to serve. And that anointing will, as you submit to it and honor the people that God has placed you under, it'll bring you into honor. Because you've sown honor, you will reap honor. Amen. All right, we'll see you guys next week.